boost your metabolism. What is metabolism? Some people think metabolism is a kind of organ or a body part that influences digestion. Actually, the metabolism isn't a body part at all. Metabolism is the process of transforming food, for example nutrients, into fuel or energy. The body uses this energy to conduct a vast array of essential functions. In fact, your ability to read this page is driven by your metabolism. If you had no metabolism, you wouldn't be able to move. In fact, long before you realized that you couldn't move a finger or lift your foot, your internal processes would have stopped, because the basic building blocks of life, circulating blood, transforming oxygen into carbon dioxide, expelling potentially lethal waste through the kidneys, and so on, all of these depend on your metabolism. Although we think of our metabolism as a single function, it's really a catch-all term for countless functions that are taking place inside the body. Every second of every minute of every day in your life, numerous chemical conversions are taking place through metabolism or metabolic functioning. In a certain light, the metabolism has been referred to as harmonizing process that manages to achieve two critical bodily functions that seem to be at odds with each other, anabolism and catabolism. Our bodies are continually creating more cells to replace dead or dysfunctional cells. For example, if you cut your finger, your body starts the process of creating new skin cells to clot the blood and start the healing process instantly. This creation process is a metabolic response and what is called anabolism. On the other hand, there's the exact opposite activity taking place in other parts of the body. Instead of building cells, the tissue of the body is breaking down energy so the body can function. For example, as you exercise, your body temperature rises and your heartbeat increases. As this happens, your body requires more oxygen so you can breathe, and your breathing increases. If your body couldn't adjust to these enhanced requirements for oxygen, you'd collapse, and all of this requires additional energy, presuming that you aren't overdoing it. Your body will begin converting food into energy in a metabolic process called catabolism. Your metabolism is a constant process that works in two seemingly opposite ways. Anabolism uses energy to create cells, and catabolism breaks down cells to create energy. The metabolism is a harmonizer. It brings together two seemingly opposite functions and does it so it's done in an optimal way that allows your body to create cells as needed and break them down as needed. Metabolism and weight loss. Calories. Calories are simply units of measure, not actual things. They are labels, like an inch, which really isn't anything, but it measures the distance between two points. So what do calories measure? Well, they measure energy. Your body creates energy from the food you eat, whether it's healthy food or not. It creates energy from fruits and vegetables using the same process that it uses to create energy from chocolate bars and candy. While you know what's better for you, your body gets energy from the fruit and vegetables, or your body doesn't evaluate the food. It creates energy from whatever you feed it. It sounds strange, but the body really doesn't care. To the body, energy is energy. It takes whatever it gets and doesn't really know that some foods are healthier than others. It's like kind of like a garbage disposal. It takes what you put in it, whether it should throw it down there or not. So let's apply this to the body and to weight gain. When the body receives a calorie, it must do something with that energy. If a carrot delivers 100 calories to the body, it has to accept those 100 calories. The same goes for the 200 calories from the chocolate bars and the candy. The body does one of two things to the energy. It either metabolizes it with anabolism, or it metabolizes it via catabolism. That is, it's either going to convert the energy or the calories into cells and tissue, or it's going to use that energy, which again is the calories, to break down cells. When there's an excess of energy and the body can't use the energy to deal with any of the needs at that time, it's forced to create cells with that extra energy. It simply has to. It doesn't necessarily want to, but after figuring out that the energy can't be used to do anything, such as help you exercise or digest some food, it has to turn those cells into something using anabolism. And those extra cells? Yep, you guessed it, added weight. In a nutshell, the whole calorie metabolism weight gain thing is really just about excess energy. When there's too many calories in the body, they're transformed into fat. Sometimes those extra calories are transformed into muscle. In fact, muscles require calories to maintain their mass. So people with strong muscle tone burn calories without actually doing anything. Their metabolism burns it for them. This is the primary reason why exercising and building lean muscle is part of an overall program to boost your metabolism. The more lean muscle you have, the more places excess calories can go before they're turned into fat. Now, just a final word about fat. There's a nasty rumor floating around that fat cells are permanent. Unfortunately, the rumor is true. Most experts agree that once fat cells have been created, they're permanent. But it doesn't spell doom and gloom for those of us who could stand to drop a few pounds. Even though experts believe that the fat cells are permanent, they also agree that the fat cells can be shrunk. So even if there's a number of fat cells in your body that's going to remain the same, their size, appearance, and percentage of your overall weight can be reduced. Tips, techniques, and strategies for boosting your metabolism. Chances are you've tried to boost your metabolism at least once in your life. Perhaps you weren't quite certain what a metabolism was or didn't know how to accomplish your goals. Maybe you started a rigorous exercise program of jogging or muscle toning, or you started eating several small portions a day rather than three large traditional meal-sized portions. Maybe you started taking all kinds of supplements that promised to boost your metabolism. The thing is, all of these methods can work. Exercise, eating strategically, and ensuring that your body has catabolism-friendly supplements are three of the generally good weight loss ideas. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is many of us have no real scientific understanding of what, how, or why these methods boost metabolism. For example, a person may start a vigorous exercise program that includes significant aerobic cardiovascular movements, such as jogging or cycling, and after a week, that person may notice a drop in weight. But is this due to boosted metabolism? Well, maybe or maybe not. Could it be due to water loss through perspiration that hasn't been adequately replenished? Yep, maybe or maybe not. Many people risk their health because they don't quite understand the tips, strategies, and techniques of boosting their metabolism. The popular and widely respected internet publication iVillage highlights 11 key ways to speed up metabolism. To most easily introduced and discussed them here, we've taken these 11 key ideas and broken them down into three broad categories. Number one, exercise. Number two, lifestyle. And number three, diet. As you go through each of the 11 key points, you'll certainly note that there's some overlap between them. For example, it's hard to imagine that introducing exercise into your life isn't a lifestyle choice. Don't get bogged down in the categories. They're merely provided to help you organize these points and to help you easily refer to them in the future. The important thing is that you understand each of the points and evaluate how you can responsibly integrate them into your life. Exercise. Exercise is a big part of boosting your metabolism and burning calories. Unless you're born with one of those unusually active metabolisms, which allows you to eat thousands of calories a day without gaining weight, you're like the vast majority of us who need to give their metabolism a bit of a kick. Cardiovascular or aerobic exercise is an important part of boosting your metabolism. Increasing your heart rate, blood circulation, blood temperature, and oxygen intake, and carbon dioxide exchange all send messages to your metabolic system to initiate catabolism, breaking down the cells and using them for energy. Build muscle. Many people, especially women, are very leery about an exercise regime that can lead to muscle building. There's a perception that muscle building leads to muscle bulking, and before long they look like a bodybuilder. Provided that women aren't supplementing their workouts with specific muscle building supplements, there's no need to be concerned because building lean muscle won't make them bulk up. But why worry about building muscle in the first place? Because a pound of muscle burns more calories than a pound of fat. So the more muscle you have, the more calories you'll burn. You don't even have to do anything. You'll simply burn more calories because muscle requires more of an energy investment. But if you build muscle and then you leave it without exercise, over time the muscle fibers weaken and you'll lose that wonderful calorie burning factory. Interval training. The basic weight loss principle behind exercise is catabolism. Essentially, if you can engineer your body to require more energy, your body will comply by breaking cells down to deliver it, and the process of metabolism burns calories. So, based on that logic, interval training fits in with the overall plan. Interval training is simply adding a high energy burning component to your exercise plan on an infrequent or interval basis. For example, if you can jog for 20 minutes every other day, you're boosting your metabolism and burning calories and energy. But you can actually burn disappropriately more calories if during that 20-minute jog you add a 30-second or 1-minute sprint. Why? Because during this 30 seconds or 1 minute, you give your body a bit of a jolt. Not an unhealthy jolt, but enough that your body has to turn things up a notch, and to compensate for the extra energy requirements, the body's going to burn more calories. Now, interval training only works when it's at intervals. The metabolism boosting benefits you enjoy as a result of interval training are primarily due to the fact that your body suddenly needs to find more energy. While you're chugging along and supplying your energy needs during your cardiovascular exercise, it all of a sudden needs to grab some more for an additional 30 seconds or a minute, and in that period, it'll boost your metabolism even further. If you decide to extend that 30 seconds or 1 minute sprint to a 20-minute sprint, you simply wouldn't exercise all of the benefits. Yes, your body would use more energy if you extend yourself at a higher range of your aerobic training zone, but your body won't necessarily get that jolt that only comes from interval training. So remember, your goal with interval training is to give your body a healthy jolt where it suddenly says to itself, whoa, we need more energy here fast. This person's increased their heart rate from 180 beats up to 190 beats a minute. Let's go with any available cell, like those fat cells down there at the waist, and break them down via catabolism to this person to get this person the energy that they need. Now, interval training can last longer than 30 seconds or a minute. Some experts suggest that you can use interval training for 30 to 40 minutes, depending on the state of your health and your overall exercise regime. The reason we're focusing on 30 seconds to a minute is simply to give you a clear understanding that interval training is a kind of mini training within a training program. And, as always, don't overdo it with interval training. Your goal here is to become healthier and stronger and lose weight in the process. You gain nothing if you run so fast or you bike so hard during interval training that you hurt yourself. You'll actually undermine your own health and possibly have to stop exercising while torn muscles or other ligaments heal. Variety. There are a few easy ways to add variety to your exercise program. In addition to interval training, you can break up longer routines into smaller parts. For example, instead of committing to a one-hour workout a day, it can be split into 2 30-minute workouts or even 3 20-minute workouts. You can also work in additional exercises into your daily routine by doing things like taking the stairs instead of the elevator or starting your day with a brisk walk instead of a coffee and the newspaper. Instead of parking close to the entrance of a building, park as far as possible away from the building and walk. All of these tips provide 2 metabolism-boosting benefits. First, they make exercising more fun. While it's important to have an exercise routine, you don't want to make it so boring an exercise routine that your chances of stopping increase. So adding these new elements to your overall exercise commitment simply helps encourage you to stick with the program. And since exercising is a core part of boosting your metabolism, any technique or tip that you use to help you continue your exercise over a long period of time is a wise piece of advice. The second important benefit of variety in your exercise program leads us back to interval training concept discussed above. When you add variety to your workout, your body cannot get into a groove. Remember, the body is a remarkable piece of work and will always strive to do things efficiently. Naturally, the overall state of your health, which can be influenced by genetics and other factors outside your control, will play a role in how effectively your body runs. But regardless of how your body's put together, it always wants to do things as efficiently as it possibly can. So when you start exercising, your body develops an expectation of energy output. It's not doing this to be lazy, it's doing this because it's efficient. If your body starts to predict that you need a certain amount of energy to complete a 20-minute jog, and then you jog for 2 minutes, followed by 5 minutes of walking, 2 minutes of jogging, and 1 minute of sprinting, your body may require a great deal more energy to help you achieve this. As a result, you may find yourself very out of breath or tired as your body strives to meet these increased demands. Naturally, catabolism will be involved and your body's metabolism will increase. But over time, maybe in a month or so, your body will simply become more efficient. It will simply become stronger and it will be able to supply your energy needs much more efficiently. Your health has improved and your body has to work less to provide you with the energy needs. Ironically, this can actually obscure your metabolism boosting efforts because you want your body to start the catabolism process, but your body's efficiently working and it doesn't have to dig into its reserves, which are the fat cells, in order to provide you with the energy that you need. So the trick is to keep variety in your workouts. Many people choose to do cross-country training. It targets different muscle groups, but it keeps your body from finding a groove whereby it's tried to help by slowing down your metabolism. Remember, your body doesn't read books like this. It doesn't need to, and it doesn't care. It has no clue that a speedier metabolism is good or bad. Lifestyle. Balancing work, family, hobbies, and other commitments often means that your lifestyle isn't so much of a choice as it is a necessity. But we can do little things that help speed up our metabolism. Get on the wagon. Do you know people who carefully choose low-fat, low-calorie meal choices, are very disciplined when it comes to resisting the chef's special pecan pie for dessert, yet order a glass or two of wine with their meal? Well, these people are undermining their efforts to boost their metabolism. Studies show that drinking alcohol with meals actually encourages overeating, which means more calories that need to be burned away or transformed into fat. Many people are simply unaware that many alcoholic drinks are laden with calories, almost as much as sugary soft drinks. A bottle of beer or a cocktail is a few hundred calories. Wine is less, but still adds to your calorie count. The tip here isn't to stop drinking alcohol altogether, but to be aware that it is adding calories to your intake. Sleep. Most of us don't have as much control over the amount that we sleep as we should. Work, family, education, housekeeping, and so many other tasks can literally prevent us from getting the amount of sleep that we need. Experts tell us getting enough sleep actually improves metabolism. People who are constantly sleep deprived typically find that they have less energy to do regular daily activities. As a result, sleep deprived people often lower their own metabolism. They simply don't have the strength to break down food efficiently, particularly carbohydrates. This is a very difficult issue because many people can only find time to exercise by borrowing from the rest of their time. For example, after a long day of work and dealing with family and home commitments, a person may find the only time they have to exercise is late at night. So what should they do? Ultimately, it's a question of balance. Naturally, if you're willing to exercise and your doctor agrees that it's healthy for you, then you're not going to get fit by sleeping instead of exercising. Yet, if you steal time away from your sleep in order to exercise, you can actually do more harm than good because the following day you won't have enough energy to digest what you eat. The answer to this catch-22 lies in balance. You don't have to work out every night, or perhaps you can integrate a workout into your life during the day, maybe at lunchtime or right after work. Most fitness clubs are open early. Sometimes they're open 24 hours a day. You can also get some fitness equipment for your home and work out there. If you find that you have trouble sleeping, this can also negatively affect the speed of your metabolism because you won't have enough energy the following day. Insomnia and other sleep disorders are very common problems. Some non-medical tips to help you fall asleep include: don't eat late at night, try drinking warm milk before bedtime, don't turn on the TV at night, try yoga or other stress-relieving practices, try having a warm bath before bedtime, don't exercise close to bedtime, because your body can become so energized that it doesn't want to go to sleep. Relax. We briefly noted that yoga is one of the things to do, and that it brings us to another key influence of your metabolism, is stress. Experts believe stress can send unwanted signals to our body, signals that lead to slower metabolism. Essentially, when the body is under constant stress, it releases stress hormones that flood the system. These stress hormones actually tell the body to create larger fat cells in the abdomen. The rest can be both increased weight and a slower metabolism. Some easy stress relievers are walk more, listening to relaxing music, meditate, practice yoga, eat non-stimulating foods, for example, no caffeine, no sugar, and so on, recenter yourself, and de-stress. So there's a link between how much stress you experience and your ability to break down cells and lose weight. If you don't want to relax because you don't have the time, your stressed out life is probably playing a role in your weight gain or your inability to lose weight. Ladies only. Scientists have determined that the 2-week period prior to your menstruation is a premium fat burning time. Australian studies have shown that women were able to burn off as much as 30% more fat in the 2 weeks preceding their period. At this time, the female body's production of estrogen and progesterone are at their highest. Since these hormones tell the body to use fat as a source of energy, exercising during these times can really pay off. The body will be inclined to target fat cells for catabolism. Don't hate calories. The word calorie has a bad rap. We consistently come across calorie-reduced or low-calorie foods. The calories that come from cake are empty calories, which means there's no real nutritional value that your body can squeeze out of them and make use of. But in the bigger picture, it's unwise for your metabolism to become calorie avoidant. If you suddenly decrease the amount of calories that you eat, your body won't try to do more with less. It won't necessarily provoke catabolism and thus reduce weight and fat cells, Instead, your body will try to keep you alive by slowing down its metabolism. It'll simply believe that something is wrong. Maybe you're trapped somewhere without food, and if you just begin to become very stingy with energy. So what's the end result? If your body needs 2,000 calories a day to survive and you suddenly only give it 1,000, it won't burn off 1,000 calories worth of cells that are lying around on your love handles. Instead, your body will slow down its metabolism. It will really try to get as much energy out of those 1,000 calories as it can because it doesn't want to waste anything. You'll feel more tired because your body's being very miserly with energy, and it'll devote its 1,000-calorie ration to essential systems like blood and oxygen supply. Metabolically, you won't be burning off extra calories. In fact, you can actually gain weight by dramatically reducing your calorie intake. The flip side of this is you should consume a daily caloric intake that's proportionate to your body size, type, and weight loss goals. Once you determine the amount of calories that you need, you can provide that to your body via healthy, efficient calories. For example, if your body needs 1,500 calories a day and one slice of double fudge chocolate cake can deliver 500 of those, you can see that eating just one slice is going to take up a third of your daily caloric intake. That's not good. On the other hand, you can see that drinking a tasty fruit smoothie made with yogurt and nuts can deliver half as many calories, but provide you with essential nutrients, vitamins, and other elements that your body needs to healthily do its job. Eat more. Fresh on the heels of the discussion on calories, it's also helpful to note that eating frequently throughout the day can be good for boosting metabolism. There's a couple of reasons for this. The first reason is people who tend to eat throughout the day do considerably less snacking. As a result, they tend to avoid potato chips or candy bars that they might have otherwise consumed if they suddenly felt hungry. People who eat throughout the day don't tend to experience severe hunger pains because they have a steady stream of food entering the body. The second reason is by eating throughout the day, you're constantly keeping your metabolism in motion. It's kind of like having a generator run all the time. It'll use more electricity than if you powered it on 3 times a day. If you plan to eat more often, you should keep a food journal that notes what you eat and drink throughout the day. You should know that the calorie levels of what you eat and the overall nutritional values too. Merely focusing on calories is only half the job. You need to ensure that you're eating enough protein, carbohydrates, unsaturated fats, and other vitamins and minerals that your body needs in order to function at optimal levels. Eat early. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day for boosting your metabolism and assisting with weight loss. People who eat breakfast are much less inclined to snack throughout the morning. Of course, if you're eating more frequently, you can still eat something between breakfast and lunch. Studies have shown that metabolism slows down during sleep and doesn't typically get going until you eat again. Therefore, starting the day with breakfast is like kickstarting your metabolism. You'll actually burn more calories throughout the day simply by eating breakfast. Remember, as you eat your breakfast, control both the portions and the contents. You don't want to eat to the point of complete fullness because you want to eat throughout the day, and you won't be able to do that if you're stuffed. At the same time, beware of high-fat breakfasts. Studies have shown that high-fat breakfasts, such as those that include bacon and sausage, do not deliver lots of calories, but they also make you hungrier again very soon. In addition to having ingested a lot of fat calories, you'll typically find yourself rather ravenous again in a few hours. Alternatively, breakfasts that are high in fiber take longer to digest, and thus the body won't be hungry again for a while. This is something to bear in mind and may explain why many people who eat breakfast find themselves painfully hungry by lunchtime. It's not their overactive metabolism at work, it's the high fat content which has been swiftly digested. Protein and carbs. Studies have shown that having the proper amount of protein in your system can actually increase the speed of your metabolism. It requires more energy to break down protein than many other foods. The more time it takes your body to break down protein, the more calories that it uses. Different people will require different amounts of protein on a daily basis. Those who exercise and build muscle will typically need more than the average amount. The US FDA food guide suggests around 50 grams of protein a day for a reasonably active adult. Keep in mind that some sources of protein are also sources of fat. Fast food burgers may deliver up to 20 grams of protein, but they also deliver a great deal of fat, which makes them mostly nutritionally worthless. Ensure your source of protein comes from lean protein. Typically, protein from fish and chicken is lean. If you're a vegetarian or simply looking for non-meat lean protein alternatives, Low-fat cheese, legumes, lentils, and yogurt are all good sources. Simply check the food labels to determine if the source of protein is lean or fatty. Carbohydrates. When the body digests carbohydrates, it requires a spike in insulin. When insulin is released into the system, it promotes the storage of fat, and some experts believe it also pushes down metabolic speed. The good kind of carbohydrate to consume are those that are high in fiber and those from fruit and vegetable sources. These sources of carbohydrates don't score high on the glycemic index, so they don't cause a spike in insulin levels, and therefore they don't promote fat storage. Conclusion. Congratulations. You know more about metabolism and how to increase metabolic speed than most people. You've learned that metabolism is a process and not an actual body part. It harmonizes two essential bodily functions, converting food into cells, tissues, and breaking cells down to provide energy. We learned that the former process is known as anabolism and the latter as catabolism. Indeed, it's the latter process that influences our ability to lose weight and to keep it from coming back. And going beyond the biological basis, we also learned the three integrated aspects of speeding up metabolism and losing weight, exercise, lifestyle, and diet. And within each of these three categories were a total of 11 important, practical, and quite easy ways to boost your metabolism. Now it's time for action. The next step to boosting your metabolism is up to you. Good luck, have fun, and enjoy the better, leaner, healthier lifestyle. A final word. Common metabolism boosting myths. The Spark Diet Resource Center has consulted fitness trainers and experts to find the four most prevalent myths concerning metabolism and metabolism boosting. Since this book has been about reality and not myths, we didn't cover any of them in the actual book. Yet, considering how common these myths are, it can indeed be useful for you to learn them and to know that they're myths. That way, if you come across in a magazine, at a fitness club, or just from any well-intentioned but misguided advice from a friend, you can confidently say, or at least just think, sorry, but that's a myth. I'm not going to fall for that one. Myth number one is diet pills. The general consensus on diet pills are contained in two most powerful words, buyer beware. The problem here is that many makers of diet pills make claims that simply aren't realistic. And if you read the fine print on most of these advertisements, you'll see that they're not really too good to be true. Little notes like the claims made in this advertisement are not typical should be enough of a wake-up call to realize that there's more to the story. In some cases, diet pills can help boost metabolism temporarily. This, however, can be risky and generally should not be done without a doctor's say-so. Unfortunately, people can become somewhat addicted to the diet pills, and this can lead to disaster. And before we go on to myth number two, remember that some diet pills are water loss pills. That is, they're diuretics that promote water loss, usually through excess urination. The jury on water loss diet pills is somewhat less open-minded than diet pills in general. They don't work. Seriously, water loss diet pills are built on the premise that you'll lose weight through water. And yes, it's true. If you urinate 15 times a day, you're physically going to lose a lot of weight. But this is not actual weight loss. This is merely unhealthy temporary weight loss, and it will come roaring back the minute that water stores are replenished through diet. Or even harder to comprehend, if a person taking these water pills fails to restore the body's fluid needs, they can actually suffer dehydration, which can and has led to coma and death. Myth number two, drop caloric intake. As we discussed earlier in this book, but it's so important that it deserves an encore here at the end, trying to lose weight by drastically cutting down calories doesn't work. In fact, it's really unhealthy. The thing to remember is that the body's ability to lose weight is not controlled by calories. Calories are the input. The real control mechanism is the famous concept that you've become very familiar with, metabolism. Calories are merely units of energy. It's how your body deals with that energy that determines whether weight is gained or lost. So with that being said, cutting down your caloric intake to, say, 1,000 calories a day isn't necessarily going to lose you weight because it doesn't necessarily change your metabolism. Indeed, as you know, if you slow down your caloric intake, your body, which is always trying to help you the best way it knows how, will slow down its metabolism. Really, it makes sense. The body says that something has gone wrong. Instead of the 2,000 calories that it needs, it's only getting 1,000. The body doesn't know why this is happening. It doesn't know that you want to lose weight. It just senses that something is wrong. Perhaps you're trapped in a cave or something, or stuck in a snowstorm. So the body, trying to help you, will slow down its metabolism. It will do its best to slow down the conversion rate so that you have as much energy on hand as possible. Now, if your body was able to read this book and could say, look, please just do what you normally do, but do it with 1,000 fewer calories a day for a while, then we might actually be getting somewhere. But the body doesn't work that way. It won't help you lose weight if you dramatically cut down on calories. It'll slow down your metabolism. And here's the worst part. If and when you ever increase calories again, your body will have to deal with that via a slower metabolic engine. So you can actually gain weight if, after cutting down your calories for a period of time, you find that you consume extra calories, say on vacation or something. You're going to end up increasing your weight dramatically. Myth number 3, low-intensity workouts. It's fair to say that any exercise is better than no exercise. So if you lead a sedentary lifestyle, then even walking around your block for 10 minutes a day is going to be something positive for your body and its metabolism. True, the difference may not be completely noticeable to the naked eye, but the bottom line is that exercise is good. This being said, some people believe that they should perform low-intensity workouts even when they could be performing more high-intensity workouts. This is instead of jogging for 20 minutes with their heart at the top end of their aerobic zone. They opt for low-intensity jogs that barely break a sweat. Low-intensity workouts simply don't lead to a faster metabolism. They can't. Remember, as we discussed very early in the book, metabolism is a process. And the process is really one of two types: taking energy and making cells, anabolism, or taking cells and breaking them into energy, which is catabolism. If you don't achieve a high-intensity workout, your body can't tap into the catabolistic energy that it needs to for you to be able to increase your metabolism. So keep this in mind. As you exercise, either at home or in a gym, low-intensity workouts are better than nothing at all, and they may be necessary if you're recovering from an injury or just starting out on the exercise journey. But once you reach a level of basic fitness, only high-intensity or aerobic workouts will make a difference in terms of your metabolism. High-intensity workouts force your body to find energy to help you maintain that level of exercise, and it does it through catabolism. Myth number 4, too much focus. Speeding up your metabolism and achieving your weight loss goals involved in certain degree of focus. There's a lot of things competing for your attention, including that delicious chef special pecan pie, and you certainly need to be able to keep your eye on the goal in order to maintain your program. Yet sometimes too much focus can be a bad thing, and some dieters understand this all too well. Remember, speeding up your metabolism is a holistic effort that includes exercise, lifestyle, and diet changes. Focusing on only one of these at the expense of the others, either one or both, can be detrimental. In fact, in some cases, it can be counterproductive. So the myth here is that you shouldn't go all out and focus on becoming an exercise guru and then move on to a lifestyle and then on to a diet. You have to integrate all three aspects of your life at the same time, based on your unique situation. You're going to likely emphasize one more than the other, and that's fine, it's normal. But it's a myth and a mistake to ignore any one of these. So it takes all three to speed up your metabolism and get your weight loss goals for the long term.